I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hello and welcome to the Earbuds Podcast, an all-star edition of the Earbuds Podcast. Jamel!
I'm Peter.
My name is Mike. How is it going, guys?
We don't got basketball. Time for that. We got 17 minutes. Tighten it up.
Listen, my bedtime was 2.5 hours ago.
Peter, nah, it is soldier, on bro. East Coast time. Yeah. We waited until the All-Star game was over tonight to record. Peter, thank you for staying up.
Hey, it was worth it. What a riveting fourth quarter we all stayed up for.
We'll get into it, but let's get some business out of the way, guys. Look, if you want to support the Buds, hashtag support the Buds, go to patreon.com/airbudspod. For $5, you get bonus episodes. You get a whole other series of a show called Shmoney Talk, which we've been doing. Jamel, we've gotten requests on topics to cover on upcoming episodes. I don't know if you saw that in the Discord.
I didn't and don't care, but we'll do it.
I think basically people want us to explain Bitcoin on Shmoney Talk, which I can't do.
Okay. You ever seen Age of Ultron?
Just like that, right? The whole movie is a big an allegory for Bitcoin.
It's all leading up to WandaVision, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I begrudgingly have watched all of WandaVision, by the way, since the last time we talked. I'm not happy about it.
I mean, for it to all boil down to one meme of my man with a turtleneck on,
I love Hotep Vision so much. Yo,
Hotep Vision went nuts online.
Let's get to WandaVision at the end of this episode because I do want to talk about it. Because
Falcon is so pissed.
Patreon.com slash AirBudsPod, $5 gets you access to our Discord, which is great. Also, if you go to Apple Podcasts and you leave us a 5-star review and write a review, we will read whatever you put into or read it on the air. like this one right here. Thank you for the shirt I like is the headline from Drew's laptop. 5 stars. Joel Embiid is the best basketball player in the solar system. Love this pod.
Free Joel. No more haircuts in LA.
That is maybe just the transition we needed to get right into the meat of the episode. Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, once again, discriminated against by the NBA. Forced out of the All-Star game because they got a haircut before flying there.
This is the best thing that could happen to you, man.
Honestly, yeah. I mean,
you were like, hey, do you wish Colin Sexton was taking their place? And my answer is no, because Colin Sexton is now safe in an undisclosed location for at least a few days before he heads out back on the NBA COVID tour for the second half of the season.
Yeah. Doc Rivers early this morning at his All-Star coach press conference revealed that Joel and Ben had come in contact with a barber that tested positive for COVID and they were likely to not play in the game. Joel Embiid, for his part, tweeted like halfway through the game about all the fresh haircuts on all the players, being like, man, I really wish I had picked the right guy to line my shit up, basically. That sucked for me on my part, but I don't know. What did you guys think of the All-Star game overall?
I mean, at least we know they're hanging out together and trying to get up on some hoes. Good for them. The All-Star as a whole, I liked it. Beal scored 20. I love that. I didn't really care about much else.
I mean, Giannis did say these teams were wildly unfair, and it did turn out to be pretty accurate.
Man, what was I doing? I lost $6. I put up 100 on 2 bets, and prop bets, and I missed on Jokic 13.5. I went with the over. He was on the court the whole time they went up 20, but it was all just Steph and Dame making threes.
Yeah, you bet on the guy that does not like playing basketball
at all. He just wants
try
to try
very
Coca-Cola.
Hard in a game where it doesn't matter. Like Jesus. that was your bad.
That pretty fucking dumb.
Giannis won MVP.
Mr. Tryhard. Mr. All-Star Game Tryhard ass.
I don't know. I felt like maybe Dame or Steph deserved it over him. But, Peter, what did you think?
I mean, it probably should have been Dame or Steph pretty clearly. It didn't. I mean, listen, this is the one time of year I can enjoy Steph just being awesome at shooting. I felt like he just kept his rhythm going from the three-point contest. I know they would never keep things this way, and I know I'm jumping around, but it was pretty nice to have it all in one fucking night so your whole weekend isn't ruined.
We were talking about that right before you hopped on.
It was part of why the dunk contest sucked, but I agree. And I think the dunk contest would have sucked anyway if it was on Saturday.
I actually didn't think the dunk contest was terrible given the circumstance. I actually thought the right dude won, which was just something that I don't feel like has happened in years.
Right.
I think it was good that he didn't kiss the rim. I think I would have been upset with him had he actually kissed the rim.
Why?
That's nasty. Because it's nasty.
It is nasty, but like you're there to be nasty, right?
That's every room Mike Benner walks into, baby.
Yeah, I never thought of the All-Star Weekend as nasty. I mean, the TNT part.
Are you kidding me?
The
you
TNT
never
part.
Of the All-Star Weekend is nasty.
The TNT part. Everything unfilmed, obviously nasty.
Do you know so many players went out last night with their GPS location services off on their phone so the NBA can track the nasty shit they did last night? The All-Star Weekend is all about nasty.
Yeah, wait till Adam Silver hears about burner phones. He's going to lose his mind.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got
to. You don't think James Harden went to Magic City last night? Come on.
Nah, they went somewhere else. I mean, they probably did some local. They probably just, like, put a tent over a Sunoco.
It'd be funny if, like, James Harden came to L.A. for the first time like when he was like a rookie, and I guess he's from LA, but yeah, go with this this analogy. He was like, bro, they've got Magic City in Atlanta, but they've got the Magic Castle in LA. Okay. And he shows up to the Magic Castle thinking it's gonna be strippers. But then he's just like really wowed by like close-up magic. This is my sitcom pilot.
I was about to say, who are you pitching this to?
Me.
Yeah, the dunk contest, I don't know. Peter liked it. I thought it kind of sucked.
Cassius Stanley got robbed. Come on, Dominique Wilkins is being an asshole.
That is 100% true. Best dunk of the first round.
Yeah, it was at least a 48.
Yeah, that first dunk was the best dunk of the night, honestly.
Yeah,
night.
But yeah. That's how it always goes. The best round in the three-point contest is in the first round. The best dunk is never in the finals.
And the best competition is never the skills, because why do they make us watch that? Why? Why do they make us watch that?
Because we want to see big guys do stuff.
Just who wants to hit a three? That's it. Who wants to hit one three?
But that Shout pass is kind of hard.
Kenny Smith, they were interviewing players before the skills competition started, and Chris Paul was up. And Kenny Smith, like, said to Chris Paul something along the lines of, like, hey, Chris, be honest. Do you ever, like, do any drills that are similar to, like, what happens in the skills competition to, like, improve your game or practice? And, like, the like, subtext was, like, don't you agree that this competition is fucking stupid and meaningless? And it kind of is. It is 100% a dumb, boring competition. They need to bring back the Shooting Stars
yes. competition. Such a better competition.
Not this year, obviously, because you don't want to bring WNBA players or old people into the mix during a pandemic. But like in 2025, we need to get Shooting Stars back, and we need Chris Bosh to be like the inaugural NBA legend. Right?
He was really, didn't like he win that like a bunch of years in a row? Was
he's the winningest Shooting Stars person in history. He won it like six times.
Damn. I would have signed off on two ball. I feel like healthy WNBA players more chill than Chris Bosh with a heart murmur or whatever he's got going on.
Yeah, he has a pre-existing condition. He's got blood clot issues. So, like, yeah, definitely bringing him back this year would not have been good. But when we're all vaccinated, bring Chris Bosh back to, like, captain the Shooting Stars competition.
You know what they should have done? You remember that time they had everybody come and try to make threes? It was, like, a bunch of people and, like,
oh, dress yeah.
codes. Raise money for Craig Sager, yeah.
Yeah, but what if it was threes for shots? It was, like, every three they hit, 10,000 people get vaccinated. You know what I'm saying? Or something like that.
Yes. You know, that is as arbitrary as our current vaccination system. So, like, yes, why not?
I'm just throwing stuff out there. Let's see if it sticks.
Yeah. I mean, right now we're like, countries are like literally like, oh, we can't vaccinate more than 40% of people because we didn't buy enough of shots. We fucked up. And you're just like, why is like purchasing power affecting the health of the globe? Like, can't Johnson and Johnson just like give it out?
Bro, come on, man.
No, they're making us pay. They're making us pay for forgetting about baby powder.
That's a good point. I forgot about baby powder. I don't use it.
Exactly.
I could use it, honestly.
They're very aware of the fucking baby powder numbers, and they're coming back for every fucking cent of that shit.
LeBron did not have a good game. I don't think I was expecting to have a good game because he was not happy about even being there in the first place. I don't know. What did you guys think?
I mean, he drafted the better team and then just did nothing, which is the appropriate thing to do when you're 47 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, and while I'm here, Dame should have been MVP. Get the fuck out of here. He shot the ball the furthest.
Did the game on a half-court shot that we all knew was going in.
Come That's on, true. Man. I can't. He went what? 1 for 3 from out there? He tried to shoot one from just past the line.
I'll tell you what, didn't he, like, Steph tried, probably a 35-footer, missed, ball went down the other end, came back, Dame shot, probably a 45-footer and nailed it to win the game. I just feel like that alone is like, oh, yeah, he just showed Steph up. He should be MVP.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. But it's always high points. Whoever has the most points on the winning team is just...
Right. So Giannis was the MVP. He's credited as being 16 of 16. Peter, Jamel and I were talking about this before you logged on to the Zoom. I saw him miss two dunks. I don't know why he is 16 for 16.
It also is a... Like, him doing well in the All-Star game is a... metaphor for how he does in basketball in general, which is he just uses his freak size and length to just get dunks. But at the end of the day, is it really proven to be anything of value in terms of, like, you know, actually being a good basketball player who wins a championship?
See, but that's what you, and I like how you ended that, Peter. Is that the line for being a good basketball player in your mind? You gotta win it all. Fooey.
Yeah, well, that's because you're like a broken fan who will never win anything, so it doesn't really matter to you. But like, Giannis should win a championship.
Why? Why? Because you want him. Because you say he has to. For your life?
Yeah.
Well, I don't want your life.
So, good. So you don't... So what, you just want him to be happy by losing? Is that what you were advocating for?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Bucks, tank the rest of the season. And just let the Wizards get the 7th seed, please.
That everything Jamel has ever said... on this podcast is an actual quote from Varsity Blues.
Yeah.
I don't want
your life is the biggest hint at all of that. Jamel's has been remixing Varsity Blues dialogue this entire, 5 years now? Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Jamel is secretly playing James Vanderbeek this whole time.
Every joke I get off on this show is from outside 20 yards.
I know. I also a fun thing that I know in my heart. We've never talked about Varsity Blues at all, but I know Jamel knows that movie from start to finish because he's a football guy, and you've definitely watched that. You've had coaches give you speeches from that movie, haven't you?
Sort of, kind of.
Yes. We've never talked about Varsity Blues, but I know in my heart of hearts that you know that movie from start to finish.
They scanned my cat. They scanned my cat.
You know, a movie I watched yesterday, very sad to find out, does not hold up. Can Hardly Wait.
Yeah, that checks out.
Yeah, I could have told you that, man.
Yeah, man. What
you hoping for with that? I've held that movie in high esteem in my mind for years. Haven't watched it in probably 20 years.
Why did you do that?
The show I'm working on, we're breaking a house party episode, and I kept referencing it, and then I finally was like, I should probably watch this to make sure my references hold up, and they don't. There is an N-word joke right in the middle of it that destroys the whole thing for me. Makes me be like, I can't believe I have...
Hold on, I'm gonna just go out on a limb and say, is it a Seth Green joke?
No, but it's his friends. Seth Green does not say the N-word, but his crew does. He's not in the scene.
Because he's locked in the bathroom with 6 feet under.
He's fucking 6 feet under during this joke. Anyways.
I mean, even just his character in that movie is like...
Oh, the character is completely...
Wildly uncomfortable.
They do try to own it by being like, what are you trying to do? You're not this... person, but I don't think they do it in the right way. I feel like they thought they were doing it in the right way, but they don't do it in the right way.
It's actually a really dark good thing. The bully in that movie is actually the best part, I think.
Oh yeah, Mike Dexter. Yeah, I texted my writing staff because we've been talking about Can't Hardly Wait. I was like, here's the best part of this movie. This movie actually doesn't hold up at all.
Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus. Woo! This fall, the Disney bundle has all the action.
Holy smokes!
Watch live NFL and college football games on ESPN Plus. On Disney Plus, there's Loki Season 2.
War is on its way.
And Ahsoka.
Buckle up.
And on Hulu, you can watch The Boogeyman and Welcome to Wrexham.
Oh my God, the expectation.
All of these and more streaming this fall with the Disney bundle. Blackouts and restrictions apply. 18 plus only. Access content from each service separately. Offer valid for eligible subscribers only. Terms apply.
Oh, but here's the best part. It's the clip of him saying, like, oh yeah, a man, duh, in the middle of the party, because he and Jennifer Love Hewitt's character is fighting, and then they cut to his best friend, who is cracking up at the Amanda thing, the only person laughing, and his girlfriend is being like, stop, like, and like, that was the funniest part of the movie. I'll send you guys the video. That's great. Anyways, don't watch Can't Really Wait. There's so many other better movies out there. That's if that's all you get out of this episode.
Lucky you.
That's it. Yeah.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
Some cars are comfy on the inside, but don't have power on the outside. And some cars have the horsepower, but none of the comfort. I used to think there weren't any cars that were the total package. But that all changed when I got my Honda SUV. It's rugged and sophisticated. And right now, Honda has deals on the entire Honda SUV lineup. CR-V, HR-V, Pilot, Passport, you name it. So if you're looking for a car that's the total package, the only place you'll find it is at your local Honda dealer. Hurry before they're all gone.
Let's talk about WandaVision for a second before I wrap it up, because I know Peter's got to go to bed in 4 minutes. Peter,
I can hold on for a little while longer if we're talking about WandaVision.
Okay, you forced yourself to catch up on WandaVision. Tell me why you did that and what was the experience like?
Honestly, I was just like, I pretty much already know what happens in this show just from like seeing memes. But I just wanted to see what it would be like to kind of go through something post, like, what is Marvel going to be? I like begrudgingly watched so many fucking movies of theirs. 24 Marvel movies. And
Peter, do you remember going to see Doctor Strange the day after Donald Trump got elected together?
What?
Dude, that was one of the most disorienting experiences I have ever been a part of in like a collective consciousness.
We all hammered and watched Donald Trump get elected. And then the next day we went and watched a superhero movie starring what is essentially a Donald Trump figure.
In the afternoon, and a movie about just like, is the reality that you're living in real? And what are the implications of that? And it was just like 60 people seeing a matinee, and you could just like palpably feel no one wanted to be there.
We all had the same experience. Like, we all like were like, this is upsetting us more than giving us an escape.
This is worse. This was a bad decision.
Yeah.
It was this movie's just all, it's just propaganda. It's such military propaganda. It's so intense.
WandaVision,
like, just Marvel. It's just so much like CGI shoot 'em up. It's just so much.
I mean, duh.
I don't know. She was fine. It was fine. Catherine Hahn was good. It was just a movie. It was just a movie, right?
They had to freak it. it's like a weird kind of it was just a little too inside baseball.
So inside baseball. It was the most inside baseball you could possibly be.
Right. But for people that have been inside that baseball for a decade, fucking loved it. For someone like me that, like, I've watched most Marvel shit. There's a lot I've missed, but I've, you know, checked out most of it. Like, I'm like vaguely aware. I feel like as Marvel goes, I'm more like, I like knowing what goes on in the Marvel Cinematic Universe by like checking out the Wikipedia page more than like reading the comics or watching the movies. So like, I haven't seen all the movies, but I'm generally aware of what's going on because I like mythology, I like subcultures, I like knowing what's happening. I did watch all of this show. It is a bad show overall. It was good in that it was something to watch during a pandemic and I'm just constantly needing things to watch. I think it disproved Jamel's take about Catherine Hahn. I think she proved that she had a third or fourth move in there.
Do you think she's going to get nominated for this? I feel like she's going to get nominated.
Nominated for what? A Cable Ace Award? That doesn't exist anymore.
Jamel has a good point. She can't get nominated MTV, for something.
At least an MTV Movie Award.
Listen.
A Circuit City Comeback Award?
Yeah, I just... Yeah, the Circuit City Comeback Award, that's our... Yo, somebody get one of those made up. It's just an iPhone power source cube.
Yeah,
it's just like a Motorola flip phone with a socket on the front of
their
it.
Their building was a plug.
I was about to say, wasn't the Circuit City logo basically the iPhone power cube before that existed? Yeah.
It was just red, but it was the same thing.
Yeah,
their ad was it being plugged into the earth.
That's crazy. But yeah, WandaVision, mostly bad. Wasted Paul Bettany for the most part. He's actually a very funny comic actor, and I will point you guys to A Knight's Tale to prove myself right.
Oh, Knight's Tale is a classic with him.
Yeah.
Good pull.
And
he
wasn't interesting or good at all the entire series. And I think generally two of the worst characters in all of the Marvel movies that they just then made a whole show about. Like,
Jamel, what is S.W.O.R.D.? Is S.W.O.R.D. just S.H.I.E.L.D. again?
I guess. That's what I'm thinking.
I think S.W.O.R.D. and S.H.I.E.L.D. are like the FBI and the CIA. Like, they're just kind of like two separate competing organizations with generally similar but different powers.
Okay.
That's my take. I don't know for sure, honestly, but yeah.
Here's my question. How many white kids end up enrolling in a historically black college or university because of the WandaVision memes?
Not because of the All-Star game?
Because of all of it. Because the memes hit the same time as the All-Star game.
Right. Hotep Vision memes hit the same time as the HBCU All-Star game. By the way, I just want to point out, we didn't talk about this. Probably my actual favorite part of the All-Star game was the marching bands in the player introductions. Incredible.
It wasn't the Kamala Harris interview?
No. With Michael B. Jordan. I didn't understand why I was looking at that.
Was Michael B. Jordan, did he have a Band-Aid on? Was he hurt?
No, that was just the Tom Clancy trailer.
Okay. Yeah, that's a big conflation for me.
Anyways, I've been a big fan of marching bands for a long time. Happy to be reminded that they can be incorporated into giant events. Let's get them into NBA games when the pandemic is over at every opportunity.
What if instead of just the All-Star game proceeds, you donated all NBA proceeds to HBCUs?
I mean... What if any of these fools who played in the game went to a black school? Chris Paul went to fucking Wake Forest. He's taking night classes at Winston-Salem now and bought one sweatsuit.
Well, they did include Robert Covington. He's the only active NBA player that went to an HBCU. they included him in the skills competition for that reason, basically.
Is Kylo Quinn not active anymore?
No, Kylo Quinn's not active anymore. Where did Kylo Quinn go?
Norfolk State.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's I don't think he's been on a roster in like a year and a half. They just cut him, I think, like last year after the pandemic hit.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I wrote a paper about this shit mad long, like what, summer before my senior year. We had this, did y'all have the junior year research paper?
No.
That was just some Virginia standardized shit. So junior year, everybody has to write a research paper. And I wrote my first paper just about some bullshit, like, you know, why public schools are fine. And, you know, just, like, that was just, that, you know what I'm saying? I was
public
just like,
schools are fine by 17-year-old Jamel Johnson.
Exactly. I was just like, look, just let me skate. Just let me have this. I just wrote a bullshit paper.
We might have had like the junior year, like midterm paper, but I was like I was put in the dumb track in school. So sure. Like, they hid me from like any standardized testing or like any, like the, if the like superintendent came to school, they were like, hey Mike, guess what, you and all your friends are going to a field trip. You guys are going to the
closet behind the gymnasium.
Yeah, whoa, dude. So then I fucking fail English 11.
Because of this paper?
No, listen. I passed the paper.
Okay.
Then fail the class anyway. Got to retake it in the summer. And I'm like, fuck. Well, shit, do I have to redo the paper? They're like, yes. So then I'm so mad, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to write the fucking paper of the century. And then I write this fucking 6-page paper on why, like, Division I sports have basically, like, killed black colleges, kind of. I was just, my whole thing was just like, what if, how funny would it be if Trajan Langdon went to Florida A&M?
That's your thesis statement.
Ahead of your
time,
man.
That was my
man.
Thesis.
Yeah.
And then, we're like,
16 years too early.
Yeah, son. That shit was on a floppy disk, bro.
I didn't have a research paper, but I had a persuasive, like, speech competition that everyone had to do junior year.
Ooh.
And
that sounds like politician training.
Yeah. That sounds like voice talent.
Well, I mean, it was some fucking, well, I at this all boys school, Ohio had just banned gay marriage. And I was like, hey, that's probably a bad, unconstitutional idea. And I didn't do well. And I was like, wait a minute. Two of the judges of this competition are like the football coaches. Like, why the?
They definitely, why the fuck definitely called you the F word while 100%. Debating who won the competition.
Look at this pedal biter over here in his fucking speech.
And that's impressive that you lost, because you recently showed Jamel and I pictures of you as a small boy, and you look like a hunky quarterback.
Yep. Hot stuff, baby. That was me. Hot Pete.
And also, ew. you're like 6'1", 6'2", and like you've got like a 9-foot wingspan. Like, I don't know if listeners know this, but Peter's arms are so long. Why weren't you a quarterback? You could have slanged that ball 90 yards.
Bro, are you kidding me? First of all, I'm Jewish. Oh. Second of all, I can't throw a fucking spiral.
No love for Jay Fiedler?
No.
Bernie Kosar? No,
yeah.
Bernie Kosar is not a Jew.
Oh.
His name's Bernie.
Very much.
Yeah, I just, my bet.
No, Jay Fielder's fine, I guess.
Yeah, Jay Fielder was tight, dude.
Who's the other, like, short Jewish quarterback from, like, the 90s or 80s? He had, like, a cereal named after him.
Are you thinking of Doug Flutie?
Captain Crunch? I don't know. Who?
Flutie, yeah.
Doug Flutie's not Jewish, man. He's just small.
He's spiritually Jewish, I feel like.
He went to Boston College.
Yeah, there's Jews that went there. I know people.
Where?
I know three Jews that went to Boston College.
Back to my point, all of these white kids that graduate from Jackson State in 2035 because of this crazy Disney Plus Black College All-Star game, I can't wait.
Dude, I went to visit a friend of mine at Boston College on St. Patrick's Day, and that is one of the distinct times in my life where I felt uncomfortable for being Jewish. I was like, I do not belong here, and they know I don't belong here.
I mean, hey, we are friends with someone you went to college with, Peter, who is the most Boston-looking guy I've ever met. And when we went to Massachusetts for your wedding, when we were literally, we all landed at the airport, and Jamal, I believe you were in the car for this, he said, I'm going to get beat up at some point this weekend. And we're like, what are you talking about? And he was like, I just, for whatever reason, I'm from here. I don't know why. I'm from Boston. But whenever I come to Boston, people try to beat me up because I just look like someone that Boston people want to beat up. And this is like a tall, like, you know, well-built, handsome white man. And sure enough, we go to a bar after your wedding.
Yeah, night two.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the after party for your wedding, and someone tries to beat him up, and I'm like, if this guy can't be comfortable in Boston, of course you can't be comfortable in Boston, Peter.
Here's the secret about our friend who you're referencing.
Yeah.
He's of like direct, both of his parents are British.
Right, but he grew up.
So I really think he grew up in the Boston area, but there's something about him being so distinctly English looking that just runs in the blood of,
right, like, Paul Revere's descendants.
Bostonians. Yeah. They're just like, they look at his face and they're like, I don't know what it is, but something about my great great grandfather's blood coursing through me tells me I need to beat the shit out of you right now. And it's true.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah, I haven't thought about that. But excellent prediction by him. He
called it.
He put something in the first act that paid off in the third act really well. Anyways, WandaVision, not great.
Catherine Houghton was good. It was pretty, like, kind of predictable.
Was she good?
Yeah, she was very funny for the first seven episodes and then, like, was a good villain in the last few.
Yeah, no, you know what? Because the key to a good villain is just being super, like, annoying. I was just like, oh, somebody hit this lady with a rocket.
She was the only funny one when they were doing, like, the Office family, Modern Family
episode. God, that was a terrible episode. And then the episode after that with the, like, where they, like, explain all of the trauma, I was like, they're not landing what they think they're landing.
Yeah, see, it's like, it was a good attempt, but they missed on some stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, they kind of still kind of half did it. And then the way they brought in the other dude, I was just like, I don't know, I guess, man.
Also, like, just don't understand the Scarlet Witch and Vision's, like, romance at all.
Dog, it's like, he was fucking fake-ass Hugh Grant. He's like, what if Hugh Grant was a compact Presario?
It is like, here's, like, AI Hugh Grant and this boring woman teaches them how to watch Full House. And that's how their entire love story begins? Like, I just didn't understand or care for it.
I mean, I think you nailed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. She is so broken that only a computer can put her back together emotionally.
Which, yeah, I get it. I get it. I've been watching Law & Order for 1,000 days straight. I get it. Just a little.
Yeah, I will say I do like that there's female representation for, like, white guys have been, like, using sitcoms as their personality for decades. Like, dudes have fucked off Tinder because they put an office quote in their profile for 9 years now. So it's great that, like, finally we see a woman getting to, like, build her entire personality off of sitcoms that she grew up watching.
There you go.
Yeah.
I like that.
I didn't realize that Officer Rambo was the recast friend from Captain Marvel.
Oh, no, that's the friend's daughter. So we see the, like, the 9-year-old girl in Captain. It took me a while to put that together as well.
I peeped that.
Wait,
too.
Really?
It was a setup for Captain Marvel too.
Yeah. Oh, it's the daughter?
It's the daughter that we see in Captain Marvel.
And because Captain Marvel takes place in the 90s?
Yeah.
It took me a minute to figure that out too.
They wrote in that the mom dies during
the disappearing.
Yeah.
The crazy thing is, like, they basically steal the leftovers to kind of round out. Well, I mean, I know it's probably a comic or two, but, like, now you actually have this thing that's happening that, like, is kind of like the fake thing that you made up for your space universe. And, like,
Marvel,
you know what
predicted
I mean?
COVID is what you're saying.
Not that they predicted it, but, like, you would think that there would. Do you think they're pissed? Do you think they're like, fuck, this is kind of like COVID?
No, I think they're happy. Because they're like,
they love it?
Yes, this is kind of like COVID.
But if you loved it, wouldn't you lean into it further?
I think they will. I think any Marvel show that is like starting now is probably doing some kind of COVID pandemic type storyline.
We'll see next week, Nick. They got the new one coming out.
Right, but I think that was written.
Falcon is next week.
Before the pandemic, for sure.
So what's after that?
Well, I got She-Hulk.
Captain Marvel 2.
She-Hulk is the next Marvel show coming out, which is kind of a more comedic legal parody show. I don't know. My friend, I don't know, friend of the pod. I don't know if you guys know Cody Ziegler, but yeah, he wrote on it. It's apparently very funny, very fun. But
yeah, that's fire. I'm going to play fucking Marvel vs. Capcom after this.
I want one of those one-up arcade machines of Marvel versus Capcom. Do they make that?
I don't know. Don't you got a PS4?
Yes, but I want to stand and play.
Wait. Benner.
Yeah.
I can't believe we're talking about this at the end of this episode, and I definitely have to go soon after this. We have to talk about Jimmy Pesto.
I've gotten so many text messages about.
You are like an actual qualified person to speak about this.
Oh my God.
I'll give the little rundown. The FBI tweeted out the other day, I think it was Thursday. Early afternoon Thursday, they tweeted out, "We're looking for information about this individual." They had several photos of someone who stormed the Capitol. The picture was very clearly alt comedy icon Jay Johnston of Mr. Show, of Arrested Development, and of Bob's Burgers, the show that I wrote on for, I don't know, 5 years. Like I worked on it from like 2010, started as an assistant, got bumped up to staff writer, worked on it until like 2016. He played Jimmy Pesto, who is Bob's rival, interacted with Jay Johnston probably on a near weekly basis for on and off for about 6 years. Here's what I'll say about him. Always very like individualistic. I'm putting that in air quotes right now. Always like in a way that was like basically like, oh, you're a libertarian. Like you are a libertarian. He he was never bad. He was always very funny as Jimmy Pesto. He was always very nice, but also like kind of enjoyed arguing a lot, which is like, I think, a red flag for me in general. Like, he, not that like, not the way we argue about like basketball or whatever, but like he would introduce a topic explicitly because he wanted to fight with someone. And also very like world renowned for partying to the point where like he has clearly lost a lot of brain cells to cocaine and alcohol and other various drugs. So I haven't probably talked to him since 2016 or so. Definitely before like Donald Trump was a huge thing. Am I surprised that he wound up a MAGA guy? Not at all. Because again, everything I just said leads to someone with brain damage and libertarian values becoming a MAGA person. Am I surprised that I am like, I kind of know someone who stormed the Capitol and is indirectly like responsible for 5 deaths and trying to overthrow the country? Yes, I'm surprised about that.
I'll say, when I first moved to Los Angeles and was really pretty close to somebody who ended up getting sober maybe 3 or 4 years into my time in LA, that person was always hanging around him, always hanging around him, always getting super fucking drunk. And I was, you know, 23 or 24. It was like, oh my God, it's this dude who I've seen on TV a bunch. This is just what cool, fun actor people do. And then the last time I saw him in the neighborhood, he was wearing the exact same camo thing that he was photographed with. On the Capitol steps, and he was driving like a broken down Jeep that was probably like a World War II relic.
Right.
I was like, that all checks out pretty
My
fucking hard for me.
Question to you both, does this finally prove that alternative comedy is bad? Michael Bennett, answer the question.
I think absolutely so. I will point out to Peter, he's only gotten more money in the last 4 or 5 years. I'm sure he has been upped to a full-time regular on Bob's Burgers, which means probably he's getting $25,000 to $50,000 an episode. He, back when he was just a guest star on Bob's Burgers, he was driving one of those Toyota Land Cruisers from like the 60s, where like it had no roof and it like it felt like a military car.
So he was funding these idiots too.
He was
that Bob's Burgers bread paid for some bulletproof vests.
Absolutely. Wow. I'm sure Bob, like, okay, so I will acquit the Bob's Burgers writers that I know of this. I have been texting with some of them. They all hate him. They all the people that knew he was kind of had these leanings are like, yeah, I fucking hated that guy for years. There are some people that seem surprised by this because they just haven't talked to him that much because he's a weirdo, so they avoided him. But I won't say much beyond someone told me that they're all fighting over who gets the Jimmy Pesto dies episode. And I don't know if that was a joke or if it is kind of a joke or if it is like actual truth, but I believe it because the writing staff of Bob's Burgers is full of mensches and good people.
I wonder who's going to play the new character who comes in and starts a successful restaurant. Jimmy Zesto.
Right. It's Bay Bonston. Mm-hmm.
Did anybody even get this? Who was talking? I haven't heard anybody say nothing. Cause then I got kicked off Twitter like 2 days before this fucking jumped off.
That is wild, by the way. That Jay Johnston is probably like still posting on Facebook, but Jamel has been kicked off social media because he posted someone else's video that had Mary J. Blige in it.
And I should also, I misspoke. I made Dan put Mary J. Blige on the video.
Oh, okay.
But still, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I had no idea how illegal that was.
I mean, the Air Buds kind of has gotten suspended several times over posting videos that I edited of NBA players dancing to sad Solange songs.
Oh yeah.
That was a good like time. Months apart. Like we got suspended one time because of like one specific Solange video, and then I deleted it and we like came back like a day later, and then 2 months later it was like another Solange video that was part of the same thread. Like they just, I don't know what they're doing at Twitter. I think there's just bots that crawl and try to find these DCMA takedowns.
Yo, these crawling bots, bro. You guys got to watch Age of Ultron again. That's all I'm saying.
I watched it recently. It was actually not bad.
Bro, every time I realize I just paid my Disney Plus bill, I watch all of the Marvel movies in a row.
Also, it's because the best part about Age of Ultron, it's right after The Blacklist came out, so James Spader is just hot as fuck, and so he is the voice of Ultron. It's just, it's a good moment in time. You're just like, oh yeah, The Blacklist. Okay.
Has anyone edited Age of Ultron VO into his lines on The Office? Because that might be very funny. I might do that.
Yeah, get up on that. I like that.
Oh, right. Wasn't he on both at this? Like,
I think he was on
The Blacklist, guesting
time.
The Office.
Yeah.
And also, yeah. God, James Spader fucking owned 2013?
He owned like 1984 through 89 and then like 2011 through 2013.
Age of Ultron, 2015. Oh. No way. Really?
It's a crazy run.
2015 is wild that was that late. Anyways, guys, let's wrap this up. I'm gonna go eat dinner.
I gotta go to bed. Just give me some sort of second half of the season thing.
I mean, look.
Just give me one.
I don't know. Blake Griffin going to the Nets is fucking wild. I can't believe we haven't talked about that yet.
I mean, we gave it all the time it deserved.
Blake Griffin.
Does he play? Is he going to play for them?
He plays with his Harold team every Monday night now, and because he's, you know, local to Manhattan.
Okay, guys, I need a suggestion for not getting off the ground.
He's had zero dunks so far this season. I think that changes with Brooklyn. That's my prediction. I think he has been literally preserving his body in Detroit because he knew he was not long for that team. And I think he comes off the bench in Brooklyn, and he is a good playmaker, and B, I think a better post player. And I think that's what they needed. I think they needed another, like, a bench guy on the front court that could, like, be trusted with the ball.
Does he play post offense?
Yeah. I mean, he hasn't so far this season, but I think he's, like, literally been, like, preserving his body in Detroit. You forget last season he was very good for the Pistons.
And
what was like a terrible team, but like he was playing point forward very effectively last year before the bubble happened because the Pistons did not go to the bubble. But yeah.
If this team doesn't win, yeah, I'm going to be pissed now. And I don't even know why.
I think the Sixers, as long as Ben and Joel don't get COVID, are still the favorites, and I say that like kind of like I hate myself saying it out loud, but I think they're better than the Nets with Blake. I don't know.
A worthy Eastern Conference Finals.
If that winds up being the finals, that will be incredible.
Brooklyn, Philly. I want it bad. Get Zach LaVine to Philly.
Yeah,
that makes no sense. That can't happen. That will not happen.
Why not, man?
Because,
dude, did you see Daryl Morey just kamikaze the Houston Rockets for 5 years? You don't think that can happen?
Who are the Sixers giving up to get Zach LaVine? That doesn't make any sense.
Thibault.
It's so funny that this podcast is 50 minutes long and we spent the most of our basketball talk in the last 2 minutes.
Yeah. Peter was like, we need to do 18 minutes. We're going to do 15 of All-Star Game and then 3 of WandaVision. Then we're out. And now we're like almost an hour. And we're finally talking about basketball games. Fuck you guys. Let's get out of here.
Peace.
Love you. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.